In today's episode, I'm speaking with Christy Fozzi, Global CISO at Marelli. Hi everyone and welcome to the episode number 7 of our podcast, Better 7, sorry. I'm Nico Capitoni, Cyber Practice Head at Wipro, and I'm your host for the series. As I mentioned previously, I'm invited global cyber leads to discuss about strategic topics such as trends, impact on new concepts, regulation, talent retention program, and more through one-on-one discussions. If you don't know the company, Marelli is a global independent technology partner to the automotive industry, with a strong and established track record in innovation and manufacturing excellence. Christy is a seasoned executive with over 2 decades of experience in technical leadership, risk management, and governance. As a global CISO at Marelli, she oversees cybersecurity across IT, OT, and connected product security, securing the next generation of software-defined vehicles for autonomous and connected mobility. Previously, Christy held senior security roles at Delta Faucet Company, Stellantis, Aptiv, and Mitsubishi Electric Automotive. She's also served as a technical intelligence officer at the CIA, driving cybersecurity innovation and global governance initiatives. She's a founding board member of the Women's Security Alliance and serves on multiple advisory boards shaping the future of cybersecurity and technology innovation. Christy, welcome to our podcast. Thank you so much for accepting my invite.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Let's get started with our first question. So we decided today to focus on identity. Identity vendors have been extending the platform with more AI and capabilities, right? So we have now a range of use cases where identity processes are supported by AI. For example, application onboarding, AI-generated entitlement descriptions, risk identification based on machine learning, and so on. In your view, in which area are CISO going to profit more from these new AI-driven capabilities, Christy?
You know, I think the real powerhouse of anything that AI is being used for today is in anything that has to do with data analytics, finding trends, finding anomalies. Really, the workhorse engine is really driving through a lot of data. And when it comes to managing identity, it's all about the data, right? It's about the location of the person, where they have access to in the network. What do they normally routinely do on the network? What's their usual behavior? And that's really where AI can really shine, is really identifying those areas where this is unusual for this person, or they're not normally operating in this area. They shouldn't normally have access to this file structure, whatever the case may be. They don't normally open every financial statement that the company has had for the last 5 years. That's an unusual thing to do. All those types of things is really where AI can shine a spotlight on identity security concerns and give operators an opportunity to look into it and investigate and really find either insider threat issues or compromised accounts, whatever the case may be, to try to protect that new perimeter that is identity. And so it can be, I think, a really big benefit in that area where so much security improvements have been needed in the post-COVID remote workforce world.
Let's move to the question number 2 about AI ML capabilities and the adoption. So while most of the vendors are raving about the AI ML capabilities, the truth is that they are not yet widely used by customers, right? So what is your only opinion? How do you see the adoption going?
I think it's twofold where the concern really comes from. And I think the first one is really the transparency of where is my data going? How is it being used to learn from in the model? And is it being exposed to organizations outside that I wouldn't want it to be exposed to? This is all my really sensitive information. So I think that's the crux of a lot of it, is that lack of transparency and really understanding how the data is being used to help improve the model. And then the second part of it is giving up that control. So I think AI right now is really powerful in the ability to assist and provide data and support. Like the example that I'm thinking of is in an operations center. There's AI tools that are coming out today that can fully automate a response to a traditional cybersecurity event, for example, right? And so if they see anomalous behavior and they can correlated across a couple of different tools, and they can do the full investigation, and they can leverage the entire knowledge base of the MITRE ATT&CK playbook, and they can take action. And I think that's the take action part that makes people uncomfortable, right? That gives like full Skynet vibes of we're giving up our control, we're giving this robot that we don't have a lot of understanding of and a lot of transparency behind it, the full ability to manipulate our environment. And so without that human interaction and that human context, are they going to make the right decision at the right time? And the example would be that maybe in a normal cybersecurity event, it might lead to shutting down a machine to quarantine it and take it offline, or whatever the case may be. But maybe if you do that, it's going to put the manufacturing environment in an unsafe condition, right? That the machine's not going to shut down safely. It could endanger people's lives. That's an extreme case. But maybe without human context, that's a possibility. And my history in the auto industry has also been in the autonomous driving space. And the example that we use for human context is if you're driving down the road and something rolls across the street, like a piece of paper or something that the vehicle detects, like you don't want it to stop for a newspaper blowing across the street, of course. Like you just want to be able to drive through that. But if there's a ball going across the street, you're not worried about the ball rolling across the street. The vehicle should be able to drive through that as well. You're worried about the kid chasing the ball. And that's the human context that's really hard to translate into machine learning and AI that makes those types of use cases, those edge cases, very challenging. And I think that's a lot of the hesitation today.
Can you imagine, Christy, passwordless completely disappear in the next 3 to 5 years in favor of modern passwordless solutions or platform?
I think the password scenario is an interesting discussion. The reason why we went down passwords initially and the way we've bolstered it up with MFA and other security tools to try to make passwords work better, we've changed our theory on how long they should be and how complicated and how often you should change them. And it's been a pretty evolving space. And I think the challenge is that it's probably not the best solution. And that's where I think going passwordless is probably the end state of where we want to be. And so I think that idea, it has to be something you have and something that you know. I can't imagine that wouldn't continue to be of value going forward in the event that the device is compromised or is lost. There's other protections that can be put in place. But the idea that you're maybe leveraging biometrics or something that is more inherent to you as a human that's tied to your specific and unique identity, I think that could be a direction that we would go in. I've seen some tools or some demos on even just like the way that you type in your password is the same. You type it in with the same cadence and that is also unique to you and as like its own like internal CAPTCHA of how you type in your unique password. I think there's ways to bolster it up. I think there's still opportunities out there that we just haven't seen yet and we haven't thought of that I would expect to be blown away in this area in the next 5 years and something totally different and unique that we haven't even considered yet.
Yeah, indeed. It's probably moving, yeah. Finally, let's talk a little bit about talent retention, Christy. So what's your best advice to retain the top talents in the cyber industry?
I think retaining talent in cyber in particular is twofold. I think the first is generic to any kind of talent, and that is treat humans like humans. They have a life. It's outside of work. It's more important than what we're doing day to day. They have other priorities going on. And if you can find room for that in their work life, for them to be there for those special moments and to not be able to miss the kid's recital or be able to take the kids to the doctor during the day, whatever the case may be, or elderly parents, we all have our own life story. So certainly finding room for them, I think that helps a lot. I think it takes a lot of like the work-life balance stressors out. And I think that's true for pretty much any talent. I think what's kind of unique to the cybersecurity space is the ability or the willingness to continue to learn. Cybersecurity in particular is so dynamic. And my background is actually engineering. I'm a mechanical and electrical engineer. And the laws of physics don't change. If it passed the crash test, it's going to pass the crash test 10 years from now. It's still the same laws of physics. Gravity works the same. But cybersecurity is not like that. It's very dynamic. It's changing. There's new vulnerabilities. There's new technologies coming out all the time. And giving people, especially the technical security practitioners, the opportunity to continue to stay on top of that and stay relevant and exercise those skills to go to like big conferences like DEF CON and to immerse themselves in the hacker world, if that's something that's of interest to them, or hear other people speak at conferences to get other ideas. The cybersecurity community is such a great opportunity to learn and grow with each other. And that's really what drew me to cybersecurity and what is keeping me in cybersecurity is that like dynamic nature of the cybersecurity technical world, but also that sharing community mindset. We're all in this together. And if the adversaries out there are freely sharing what they're working on and what they're developing, then, you know, we need to have our version of that, where we can share and grow and learn together from things that we're seeing out there, things that are working really well for us, and have that opportunity. And so I think those are the two areas, right? Letting people live their life and letting them learn and grow in the space is really what I think keeps people interested and engaged and want to participate as part of the team.
Very interesting. Christy, thank you so much for sharing your insight. It was great to have you on the podcast.
Oh, I'm so happy about that. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I really appreciate the invite.
Next time, I will talk about SOC transformations. Don't forget to share, subscribe, and give us a good rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We also appreciate your comments on the show. Drop us a note. Your feedback drives our improvements.